Thank you, City Limits, for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, I'm happy to give it to you.
Paul is stuck in traffic, apparently.
So I've been told. You have been told.
It's happened to the best of us. And the worst of us, I might add. It's happened to all of us. And there's something happening today. I got a message from my wife at, about an hour ago, saying that she was stuck in horrific traffic today. What's happening here? I get these messages. I'm still sitting on Banksville, WTF. I've only made it to Beto's Pizza so far. By the way, where did City Limits, where are you? Oh, there you are. I thought you left the beginning.
I was getting my headphones.
You leave too? You just leave me here. Beto's Pizza, the half-cooked pizza, the no cheese on top. Listen, it's very popular. But the first time I went in there, Limits, are you familiar with this place?
I am. I like their pizza.
The first time I went in there, I took my pizza back up to the counter and said, it's not cooked. The cheese is just grated on top.
Maybe it was like the pizza that I ate.
And they said, this is the way we do it here. And people seem to love it. Now, I like their cooked pizza. Yeah. I asked if they could cook it. Anyway, never make it by 9. It's a 15-minute sprint on foot after I park. Something about West Carson, West End being closed, so you may need extra time as well. That was my wife looking out for me today. A lot of traffic. Zeiss said something going on where he lives. Is there more traffic these days than ever before? Unequivocally, yes.
I hit 3 construction sites.
What are they working on? Everywhere I go, there's construction.
There was construction on 2 different parts.
There's nothing wrong with Green Tree Road. I've been living here for 20 years. The road's fine, but every day there's something going on with orange signs and cones.
Oh, yeah. I was driving through Mount Oliver, and there were 2 different construction sites on the same road separated by not even 100 feet.
I know. What are they doing? What are they doing to us? What is happening here? I take my kid to Seton LaSalle from my house. I could walk there, certainly bike there faster than drive there. Everywhere I go, every turn I make, there's a delay. There's people working. There's orange cones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad the work is there for people. I am glad about that. I just question what's actually wrong that they're fixing here.
I already get delayed because there's a road. Beck's Run Road's going to be closed for a year. For what?
For a year?
Why does it need to be closed for a year?
Did you ever see the Mount Lebanon sidewalk project?
No, but I think I've heard about it.
It took like a decade to repave the sidewalk. It was unbelievable how long that took. I think they're milking it out there, Limits.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
There's no doubt.
Not to offend the construction workers, but what are they doing half the time where it takes that long for a project?
No. The workers themselves
are working hard. Right,
it's the projects. The rationale behind the projects that I question.
That I don't understand. Why does it take this long to get this stuff done?
I let out some really loud and horrific swear words. Like, if you ranked the intensity of swear words and, you know, best to worst, I'm at the very top of that scale with spittle coming out of my mouth, slamming my hand into the console in my car as I go by, you know, and sometimes I want to yell, but it's not the workers. The workers are doing the best they can. They're doing their job. But I want to yell, just shriek at the very top of my lungs.
Oh, I know.
What the blank is going on? What is going on? Can you find the beginning of the movie Michael Douglas where he's stuck in traffic? Just look up Michael Douglas traffic rage and see if you can play that. It's the opening scene. I forget what movie it is. He's stuck, I believe, maybe in LA traffic, and he just loses his mind. Here's another thing I'm angry about. Limits. And how are you today? Everything else well?
I'm great. Joe, I feel so much better than yesterday.
Good. I know you were dehydrated, disheveled. Any other D word
we can think of? I probably drank a whole river full of water yesterday and got some sleep.
I called you later. You were just waking up from a nap. You sounded great compared to the show.
I slept for an hour and a half during the day and another 9 hours last night. So it was fantastic.
That's wonderful. And I'm happy for you. But the other thing I'm angry about is, what are we doing with the All-Star game? I thought the whole idea here behind starting Paul Skeens, going to the trouble to do that after 11 starts, and he's absolutely deserving, and I've said it, and I've written it, and you've said it. I don't know if you've written it, actually, but probably in some form, that he should be the starter. Like, this is what people want to see. This is a television show. It's not a baseball game. Saw ESPN replay the top 10 moments from All-Star history, and number two was Pete Rose running over Ray Fosse. And back then, it was a competitive game. They wanted to beat each other. And, you know, people want to talk about old man yelling at cloud and you know, oh, it used to be better. That's just a fact. Okay? I'm not even old, as I've said before. I'm basically the same age as Mike Sullivan and Mike Tomlin, a few years older. They're in their coaching prime. I'm in my talk show prime. So I don't care what people say about that. I'm still in my 50s, barely. Some things just used to be better. And sports at that level used to be more competitive. Guys hated each other off the field. You saw that hatred play out. And things like All-Star games were actually competitive. This is not. This is a television show. And I'm not saying it's not competitive in the moment, batter, pitcher. It is, but the game itself just doesn't matter at all. It's basically a joke. But within that, you can have great competitive moments. And the whole idea, the entire rationale, I thought, for starting Paul Skeens was to get the television moment, the GIF or GIF. Which one is it? GIF or GIF?
I call it a GIF.
GIF. The little video clip, the viral moment, whatever you want to call it, in our sick little twisted short attention span society these days, is going to be Paul Skeens versus Aaron Judge. Nothing else matters. I don't even know who the hell the guy was who won the home run contest last night.
I said that I was going to watch the home run derby last night. I watched the first round and got completely bored that I turned it off and started flipping back and forth between the derby and other things.
So because we're capable of watching, I tried to tell you, Crowley and Callis, like an 8-second story today, and you all lost interest after three. Crowley's on his phone, you're doing something else, and Callis has practically left the building. And I called everybody on it, although I implicated myself as well. None of us have an attention span anymore. I wanted to tell you an 8-second story about Zeiss in traffic, I think it was. I can't even remember. And that's the point, too. Nobody remembers what the hell happened 5 seconds ago. We all wanted the one little at-bat with Skeens and Aaron Judge. That's it. That's the Tuesday night 2024 MLB All-Star Game. Coagulated, is that even a word? Boiled down to one moment. The little moment that all of us little gnats can remember and watch, and that is Skeens versus Judge, and now we might not get it. What are we doing? What are we doing? Can you answer that question? Limits?
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
He's batting fourth is what I'm trying to say, argument, you may never get to him.
The argument Bruce Bochy, I'm sure, would make is, well, Stephen Kwan is hitting .350 on the season, which is understandable from an AL perspective, but from a Rob Manfred perspective, why don't you mandate that Aaron Judge has to be in the top three of the order?
I think that Rob Manfred may have mandated that Paul Skeens start.
Well, supposedly,
Lovello has not been shy about saying that MLB, you know, he didn't make this lineup alone.
Right.
Right? Or his starting staff alone, I should
by
say.
By all indications and reports, Lovello made the decision to start Paul Skeens on his own. I saw a story that Rob Manfred was going to step in. Not that he did, but was going to step in if Lovello did not want to make that decision.
We don't know how that went. We don't know behind the scenes. If Craig Riley, my boss down there, makes it known through other channels that I should talk about the Penguins in the next segment, guess how we're going to lead the next segment?
With the Penguins.
Yes. So I don't know how that worked. If Lovello made the decision, great. And I've completely forgotten what my point is. Again, underscoring that none of us have attention spans or can even have a thread of conversation that goes from 1 second to the next.
I would think
what was I talking about?
I would think he did because Lovello came on this very station and called him the Michael Jordan of the sport right now.
I know what I was talking about. That Manfred,
Aaron Judge.
He should have stepped in on this.
Yes.
He has to know the lineup. He has to see the lineup, I'm guessing. And if he shouldn't, he should have made damn sure with Bruce Bochy, Bruce, let's make sure that Judge is in your top three, please, because, well, the entire baseball universe wants to see one moment from that game, and it schemes against Judge. So can you have him in the top three, please?
We all thought it was going to be Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. And then Stephen Kwan can fall in whatever. Stephen Kwan is a very good baseball player.
I don't care about him. But I don't care about anybody else in that lineup, and neither does anybody else.
That's the point.
Except in their own cities. We care about Judge and Skeens, not just in Pittsburgh, but the entire baseball universe wants to see that matchup. And it's unbelievable to me that it's not guaranteed. It's just mind-blowing. What is Manfred doing? That's who I blame more than Bochy. And he should still change it, by the way. Obviously, you can still change your lineup. Whoops, I decided to make a last-second lineup change. We're going to go with Judge third. Failing that, if I'm Skeens, I intentionally, unintentionally walk somebody to get to Judge. Or if I'm Lovello, I correct this egregious misstep by putting Skeens out there for the first batter of the second inning. And then I can pull him. Would that hurt anybody? Would it hurt anybody to give him two innings? Or to at least have him face Judge. That's what we all want to see. If you picked five possible moments that you'd want to see in the All-Star game tonight, scenarios, Judge versus Skeens, if you distributed ballots to everybody in the universe, how many people are in the universe?
8 billion?
In the United States. Well, no, this is a worldwide game. How many people are on Earth right now?
8 billion, I think.
How many you figure you'll know before you're done? That you'll meet. How many people will you meet in your entire lifetime limits? You're a very gregarious young man, so you meet a lot of people.
I like to say a million.
Do you think we'll all meet a million people?
Well, when you say meet, do you mean like...
At least say hello.
Say hello?
Yeah.
I'd say close to...
I mean, I don't know. Does holding the door for somebody downstairs count as a meeting?
Well, that's the point. Is that if you count that, then yeah, you could say probably close to a
How many
million.
Will you actually get to know, have a conversation with across your lifetime? A million? Or is that ridiculous?
Yeah,
has anybody ever estimated this?
I don't. Probably some economics guy somewhere probably has. I'd say probably around 300,000 then, maybe.
Yeah. That's an awfully drastic reduction.
Huge difference.
From a million.
Than just saying hello or waving to somebody or, you know, when you give somebody the proverbial wave when you let them go and driving on the parkway when you let them pass in front of you.
Or if you're stuck in traffic and late to the show.
That's right.
Which I was last week, to be fair, or 2 weeks ago. I forgot what we're talking about again.
We're talking about Aaron Judge being fourth.
I know we're talking about that, but what part of the conversation?
The point of the conversation that we're in.
Oh, the universe. If you gave a ballot to everybody in the universe who watches baseball.
Yes.
And I don't know. There may be Klingons from Uranus watching this game.
I'm sure they are.
Give them a ballot. How many do you think are out there?
Yeah, a couple hundred thousand. A
couple hundred thousand. Hand out the ballots there. Let's say you hand out 7 million ballots. The number one matchup scenario that the vast majority of beings in the universe want to see in this game is Judge versus Skeens, Skeens versus Judge. And they couldn't even guarantee it to happen? How stupid is that, honestly, if you're Rob Manfred? How stupid?
It's boring. I mean, it really is that... The fact that we have to see Stephen Kwan against Paul Skeens, and again, no disrespect to Stephen Kwan, but come on, it's an exhibition game for fun and entertainment.
He's a great player. So's Gunnar Henderson, so's Juan Soto, nobody cares.
But I mean, it's not even
outside
like,
of their markets. Let's get Skeens
it's
and
a
Judge.
Game for nothing other than just pure entertainment.
How do we make
Skeens
this happen?
Judge is.
How do we make it happen?
Well, we bring Paul in and then it all happens.
Here's Paul right now. What a wonderful man. We're reunited. And I have a present for you, Paul, that I forgot at home. Guess what it is? There he is sitting down. This is a big moment.
A Haywood Jeffries jersey.
No, it's not that. It's a Reggie bar straight from New Jersey. Remember the Reggie Jackson candy bar?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know you could still get that.
Yes, you can. And I got you a Reggie bar.
There you go.
And I'm bringing it in tomorrow.
What is it?
I don't know if it's fresh. Have they even been in production since like the 1970s?
It
might be a little bit stale.
Is it a crunch or is it a caramel?
It's a crunch and a caramel. Both. It's got
is it caramel nougat? Crunch?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it's got little nuts in it and chocolate and caramel and nougat. What is nougat? limits.
Like coconut or something. It's like a
sure.
It is. It's like a coconut type thing.
It's delicious. I mean, yeah. But when we were at the baseball card castle, I opened up an old pack of cards from the 70s, and the gum had black mold on it. So I fear for this Reggie bar. I might keep it as a commemorative keepsake. I don't know that I would eat it, Paul, like but I'm bringing it in tomorrow.
Yeah. Like a box of Wheaties from 92 with the Penguins on it?
Yeah, or my Flutie Flakes from 98.
Do you still have
Buffalo.
That?
Yeah. Yeah, I still have a box of Flutie Flakes. He's got Casperitis Crunch, the peanut
Do you remember when the Dolphins beat the Bills?
I was at the game.
In the locker room, Jimmy Johnson jumped on a box of Flutie Flakes.
I was in Miami covering the Penguins and at that game. With a guy named Brian, I forget his last name, who wrote for the Palm Beach Post. He covered the Panthers.
Oh.
I was at the game. They should have won. Flutie should have won, and they got ripped off by the officials late in the game. How are you, Paul?
I'm better now, you know. I'll tell you what.
What happened? Was it an accident?
It was actually just a construction zone.
What? We led the show with this. There's more construction and more traffic in this town than any time since I moved here in 1989.
But
what is happening?
But this was literally like they had probably about 2 miles that were, you know, one lane.
Yeah.
But the backup was about 8 miles, 7 miles. Stupid.
Were you swearing?
I was not. I'll tell you why, because I was away for, you know, this is my first day back. Your first day back after missing how many days in a row?
Yeah.
I just expected nonsense is going to happen. Then when I got through there, I got behind an oversized truck. And you know how there's the little sidecar thing?
Yeah, can't get past
it. Right? Yeah, that.
Then you swore.
Then I swore.
Yeah.
And then coming down, I'm like, okay, finally, you know, I'm now moving, I'm cruising pretty. I get down to a point where there were people in the slow lane who were basically just defiantly not going to pass the people people in the fast lane that were not going to pass the people in the slow lane. Then I get to the West End Bridge, I get to the, the Fort Duquesne Bridge, and they have the ramp to West End. You know how you come across the Fort Duquesne Bridge?
Yeah. Shut down.
Yeah, the Fort Pitt Bridge. They have the ramp shut down. So there was a bunch of traffic there. And I'm like,
what are they doing?
I'm just not destined to get there on time today.
Don't they owe us an explanation? We should get handouts, emails every day. This is precisely what's wrong and what we're doing on the 97 different roads just here on this side of the Fort Pitt Tunnel. Within a 5 mile radius. Here's what we're doing on the 111 streets that are blocked off for construction.
I found the falling down clip. It's not suitable for the air, but basically the synopsis of it is that a guy comes up to a street that's all blocked off and asks the worker who's leisurely just laying in the middle of the road, hanging out, what's wrong with the road? It was fine 2 days ago. And he said, we're fixing it. The hell does it look like we're doing?
Right.
I want that clip beeped out. Can you do that for the next segment?
For the next segment, I can.
I need that as a catharsis for my anger this morning because it reached is nadir the right word, Paul? I don't know what they're doing on Green Tree Road. There's nothing wrong with it that I can see. Am I the one wrong here?
The worst part about what happened today, it was like a random construction zone that wasn't there yesterday. You know what I mean?
They mysteriously pop up.
And you say to yourself, part of it is it's the summer. And so here, you know, you only have like maybe 8 months really to do or 9 months to do construction projects. Right. So they all seem. But part of it too is, you know, they have a lot of money in their budget that they have to spend. And so it just, some of the things, listen, it took about 45 years to complete Route 28.
Right.
But when you go up Route 28 now, for the most part, it's like, okay, that was actually worth it. The ramps around the Highland Park, the Highland Park Bridge, you know, the widening of some lanes down, all that stuff, it makes it, okay, fine. I mean, the projects took about 45 or 50 years to complete, but they got them done. But there's sometimes when there's a construction zone for a year, and then you drive through and you're like, this didn't change a thing.
Right.
What did we do here other than cause traffic for a year?
What they're doing in Oakland right now is absolutely mind-blowing. I was in Shadyside last night, drove back. I understand they're putting up a new sports facility, whatever they're doing up there, and that's going to take a long time. Why is Forbes still closed? There was one lane at 9 o'clock coming back down Forbes toward the city, toward the parkway. One lane. So I'm stuck in a traffic jam. I forgot about this because of my anger about this morning's traffic. I'm stuck in a traffic jam at 9:30 at night on Forbes Avenue in the dark coming back down toward the parkway. What are they doing? What are they doing? And then last night I yelled it out the window. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Well, I try not to take it out on the construction workers because they're just doing their job. But by the same token, you ask yourself, what is going on? Some places where you're driving, but Oakland is the worst.
The worst.
Right now?
The worst. I can't. Don't they want people to go there?
Well,
to conduct business or eat or do something?
I have no idea what they're trying to do there. But I know that if you go, especially if you go upper campus, I mean, there's just nowhere to go.
Don't go upper campus.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
But like I said, when you're driving, so as soon as I hit the traffic, I was like, okay, hopefully this is just a little temporary thing. I flip on my GPS because, you know, it shows you and you see this dark red line. And I'm like, okay, there goes my morning.
That's when you texted City Limits.
I waited about 15 minutes to see if I was actually going to get through it quick enough. Because if I did, you know, the way I drive, maybe I could make it up. But after about 15 minutes of going nowhere, I said, well, this is not going to end well for me.
Well, the other thing that has us angry, Paul, and very angry, I might add, is that it seemed like the whole idea of starting Paul Skeens was to have him give us all a viral moment against Aaron Judge, or have Judge have that moment, however it goes.
Right.
This is what the entire universe wants to see, and now it's not guaranteed because Bruce Bochy's lineup has Judge batting fourth, and usually these pitchers go one inning. So what are we doing? What would you do if you're Skeens?
If I was Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
I would call Bruce Bochy, and I would say, you're going to change your lineup, and Aaron Judge is going to bat third.
That's what I would do, too.
But if I'm Skeens, honestly, I might walk whoever's ahead of him. Who's batting third? Is it Soto?
Who's batting third, Limits?
Yeah, it's Soto.
Yeah, I'd walk him.
I think he's going to walk Kwan to lead off and face Henderson, Soto, and Judge like we all anticipated it to be.
But my point is, if I was him, though, but see, the problem with that is if you walk the first guy, there's always a chance of a double play. You know what I mean?
I'm reading something now on Fansided. Right. You could get a double play and anything could happen. And yes, they have this right. Fansided.com. The idea behind Skeen starting the game wasn't only so he could start, but that he could face the best of the best. The idea was for Skeens, and they include Henderson, Soto, and Judge. The main attraction would be Judge, the best hitter in the game, and the best pitcher, Skeens. So, change it. Do something. The other thing is Lovello could have him pitch the first batter of the second inning and then take him out, right? I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but didn't they specify that he's only to do one inning?
Yeah, but one more batter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this has to happen. This is just ridiculous. How do you start? How do you approach Aaron Judge, Paul? If you're Skeens,
if you just
give him heat like he did Ohtani?
In an all-star game against Aaron Judge, I'm throwing 3-102 right at him.
No splinker?
No, nothing. Just going right at him. Just trying to say power on power. Let's see who's winning.
You on board with that, Limitless Wonder?
I mean,
I'm on board for it.
Wouldn't you love it to be like
– I want the splinker.
You know, like that Major League, the movie there, the last at bat or whatever, where he's like, forget about the curveball, Jack. Forget about the curveball. Give him the heat. I want to see him blow three pitches right past Aaron Judge. That's really all I care about.
You know Judge is going to be locked and loaded for that fastball.
That's what I'm saying, though. Can you hit it? That's my point. Bump Skeens, can you hit it?
412-928-9370. 928-9370. Whether, I mean, this is usually we do anger management Friday. This is apparently Anger Management Tuesday between the traffic, the construction, and the All-Star Game silliness that we're dealing with here, where Aaron Judge isn't batting until maybe the second inning. You can vent.
What did you think of? And I don't know if you got to this, but what did you think of the rendition of the national anthem last night the home run derby?
It's one of the all-time worst. What happened?
I started to feel really bad for this girl.
Was she
a minute
not in, well? To put it,
I started to feel really bad for her about 20 seconds into it when you could tell. I don't know, there was something wrong with her pitch. In her voice,
I'm
or
told
something.
She's, what's her name?
She's a Limits. Four-time Grammy winner.
And I'm told she's really, really good. She wasn't good last night. What happened to her?
But that's just it. It's just like, it's just basically like.
Was there any statement or anything by her? Like, I wasn't well?
Or? Ingrid Andress is her name. And I might have botched the pronunciation, but that's her name.
Did you see that?
The national anthem?
Yes.
I did. I actually went to YouTube to see a couple of her videos.
I mean, she's incredibly talented,
she's
but this
okay.
was
she's
this
not
was an
bad.
All-time one of the all-time worst.
Yeah. I think she's won a Grammy before.
Right.
And Alex Dump of MLB.com said they must hand out Grammys to anyone these days.
Somebody tweeted out, just when I thought nothing could unite this country, America comes together to dunk on the anthem singer.
That's true.
What was worse? I can't think. Somebody must have put together a list of worst anthems ever.
Well, if you remember, Carl Lewis is probably the all-time worst.
Oh, my God. I'm watching it right now.
And you remember Charlie Steiner trying to... and he was laughing and laughing and laughing. He couldn't get enough of it.
Here's Carl Lewis.
Yes.
This is tremendous stuff. They just showed Jordan listening to that from the sidelines. Top five or bottom five worst anthems ever. Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis is a gold standard. Didn't Rosie O'Donnell do one too? That was a disaster. Was it Rosie O'Donnell? I think it was Rosie O'Donnell did
where she grabbed her crotch?
Or whatever,
is that what happened?
Whatever, something like that, yeah.
But, and another rough anthem wasn't it a kid doing it and Maurice Cheeks stepped in and sang it with her? So it turned into an all-time great moment because I think she may have forgotten the words, something like that. Charlie Steiner said of Carl Lewis that the anthem was written by Francis Scott off-key.
Right.
Which you could say last night. Let's just say she seemed to be compromised in some way, Paul. Would you agree with that?
I would hope, right? I would hope, but who knows?
Do you need the anthem before the home run derby? Is that, I mean, the game, of course, but the derby? I don't know.
Also, the texters are saying Roseanne Barr, not Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Also,
Paul, it was Roseanne Barr.
Oh,
not
I'm
Rosie
sorry,
O'Donnell.
Yeah, Roseanne Barr.
Ingrid
okay.
Andress was nominated for a Grammy. She didn't win it.
That's funny.
I wonder why she didn't win it.
I mean, I just think about it. To me, I don't know. To me. If you're a four-time Grammy-nominated woman singer, I mean, you didn't rehearse at all for that?
Look at this jackass. This guy tweets me, Joe seems like a good dude, but no way he shot in the 80s with that swing. His name is Sam. I'll take you on, Sam. Anytime, anywhere.
Who was this?
Some guy named Sam. And because going low, which is great, our golf feature with our friend Mr. Nussbaum, he took a video of my first swing on the practice range from when we were, I think, at Laurel that day. And this dude says, Joe seems like a good dude, but no way he shot in the 80s with that swing. All right, Sam, DM me. I'll take you on. Anytime, anywhere. Now watch, the guy's a pro, Paul.
Right.
I've shot in the 80s, like, at this point, about 15 different times.
What's this guy's name? Sam Hathorn?
Hawthorne, I think.
Yeah.
Filler o' divots, it says. It's my first swing of the day. Come on, let's play. Especially if you belong to a country club. Please invite me. I don't know what we're talking about, Paul.
I mean, again, completely...
the Fergie national anthem is by far the worst.
Ferguson Jenkins?
Have you ever seen Fergie singing the anthem
Who's
at the All-Star game?
Who's Fergie?
Fergie is a singer.
Oh, no.
Who sung the anthem at the All-Star game in, I think it was 2018.
I'll tell you what, Limits, if you have the time, because we have to run. If you can get the Michael Douglas thing with all the beeps on it about the opening. What was that movie, did you say?
Falling Down.
Falling Down. Yes, I have it. I have it clipped.
All right, if you can put the beeps in.
I have 30 seconds in. I didn't even put a beep in. I just clipped out the one word.
Okay, that coming up next. And also perhaps 4 or 5 clips of the worst anthems ever, starting with Carl Lewis. Where he forgets the words and then mangles it from the actual, from every conceivable angle. If you could do that going into the next segment, that would be wonderful. And Paul and I would appreciate it. Paul and I reunited today.
Yes, after a week and it feels so good.
It does, doesn't it? Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Do we have Shelty? Did you check on that yet?
I did not receive a response back, but it's logged in here in our system as us having Shelty, so... I'm pretty confident that we do.
I'm not. He's on All-Star break. That was Juan Soto saying he's going to make sure that Judge faces Skeens. And Soto is batting where? Third, did we say?
Yeah, he's batting third.
Do you take him seriously there?
I think a little trash talk is always good.
Do you think he'll find a way to make that happen? By what? By doing what?
Maybe he'll step in front of the ball.
Making sure that would be
that
great.
Or it's probably just cocky arrogance saying, of course I'm going to get a hit.
Yeah.
I'm Juan Soto.
Yeah. I don't see how he can ensure it. This is just so stupid that we're talking about this.
Right.
This shouldn't be happening. Now I got another guy saying, Joe, I listen to the show every day, but I 100% agree with this other guy. Saying that there's no way I could shoot in the 80s with that swing. Paul, you've seen me shoot in the 80s.
I've actually played golf with you while you shot in the 80s.
That was my first. Do people not understand? It was the first swing on the practice range at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure why that is lost on people. I'm not saying I'm good, by the way. I'm not. But on a given day, that's not my swing, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
What's wrong with people?
I mean, Paul? I think either way, here's what I love about golf guy. You know, everyone's so arrogant. Golf guy. You know, my favorite is the guy that claims that he's like really good and tells you how about his swing and this and that. And usually it takes me, okay, one time watching him swing the club to say, okay, this guy's another guy that's full of you know what.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. All right, now I'm following this Sam guy, and he's following me. I get the impression he's really good. He's from Clearwater, Florida. He should invite me to play in Clearwater, Paul.
Right, exactly.
I'll get down there, and we'll play. All right, so we promised, first of all, what?
No, I was going to say, you know what? The story I share with you in the break here. About how I discovered this weekend that it's possible to be unplugged for a while.
It takes a lot, but it's possible.
Because I was coaching basketball, and it was, Saturday evening, and I heard some people that were just kind of saying, hey, wait, what happened? You know, apparently there was a shooting at a Trump rally or something. And I didn't think anything of it because I was getting ready to coach a game. And then I coached a game. And then, you know, I was in the gym because we had a game like an hour and a half later and all this other. And then afterwards I went out and ate, you know, got something to eat and had a couple of maybe adult pops. So by the time I get back to my hotel, it's like 11:30, 12 o'clock. I still had no idea that there was actually a... what happened
That's amazing.
Until I turned on, you know, the Twitter machine to see, okay, let me catch up with whatever's going on in the world today. And I was like, but I was saying to myself, right? This is a good lesson in the fact that you can indeed unplug for a while and get away from the world and news and everything else. Like, we have our phone in our hands all the time, and we're flipping through Twitter all the time to try and get every headline up to the minute. Like, that's how we live our lives now. But it was just kind of, you know, here's probably, you know, I mean, you could make an argument, maybe the biggest news story of the year so far. And I had no idea what was going on for like 5 or 6 hours. I said, this is how we used to live our life. Think about it, Joe. It's how we used to live our life. If something happened, might not, you know, if you don't, you might not hear about it, and you know, they'd have to break into television programming to.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
So
at the beach, like,
yeah,
about phones,
right.
And how you used to go to work, you know, you and your wife would both go to work, whatever. One of you would go to work, and nobody would know what happened until the end of the day, you know? And if somebody didn't come back after their work shift, then you started making a couple calls.
Right.
That was it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how we used
no
to-
No email, no text, no calls.
Like, that's how we used to live our life, where we didn't have to be right up to the minute on every single thing going on in the world.
I wouldn't know about baseball scores sometimes till the next afternoon.
Right.
Which is amazing. Do you have Michael Douglas being angry? This is Michael Douglas from the beginning of the movie. Tell me again the movie.
Paul, what was the movie again?
Falling Down.
Yeah, there it is.
Falling Down.
Well, I'm falling down trying to... intro this, so here it is.
Hey, where do you think you're going? You can't come this way.
What are you doing to the street?
We're fixing it. What the hell does it look like?
2 days ago it was fine. You telling me the street fell apart in 2 days?
Well, I guess so.
Pardon me, but I want to know what's wrong with the street. See, I don't think anything's wrong with the street. I think you're just trying to justify your inflated budgets.
What are you, nuts?
No, I know how it works. If you don't spend the money you have projected this year, they won't give the same amount next year. There's nothing wrong with the street.
That is exactly what you just said.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with the street.
And then eventually he throws like a firecracker into the street. It all blows up.
Well, that's funny.
That made me laugh the first time I ever saw it, and I think there's a lot of truth in it. All right, worst anthems ever, based on whoever this was last night. Who was it last night? None of us know that either, I don't think.
It was Ingrid Andress.
Ingrid Andress had a rough night on the old anthem. As I said, perhaps safe to say that in some way she was compromised. I don't know in which way, but something was going on there. Give us some clips of the worst anthems ever.
Well, do you want to hear some of Ingrid first?
Yeah, let's hear some of Ingrid.
All right, here's Ingrid.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail by the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
All right, so at this point, like, I don't think it's that bad of an anthem.
That wasn't so...
It's not,
right.
But it takes
it
a turn.
South. Yeah, it took a turn.
It takes a turn.
And rockets rattling,
oh boy,
the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still.
No, stop! No, no, no! Get it! Get her off! Gong show. Wow, that went south, Paul.
Very quickly.
All right, let's compare that one. Limits.
All right, that one compared to maybe the worst anthem of all time, Carl Lewis.
Oh, say can you see, and the rockets red flag.
Uh-oh.
I'll make up for it now.
I'll make up for it.
For the land of the free.
Boy.
When you say uh-oh in the middle of it, that's a problem.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
The best part is when he says, all right, I'll make up for it now.
That was the commentators on the broadcast.
He says, uh-oh. I'm going to make up for it now.
And the most iconic anthem, maybe of all time, comes from Fergie. Do you want a clip of Fergie or do you want the full Fergie experience?
Just a clip, I think. And who was Fergie again?
Fergie is the singer. This was at the 2018 NBA All-Star Game.
You familiar?
Court's coming up.
Spangled banner yet way. For the land of the free. Yeah.
Now, some
Hold
of the,
on. Some of that was great.
Yeah, some of that was so much. That's
some
not even
context in the
What's
Fergie
happening?
National Anthem. You didn't hear people laughing in the background.
Well, no, the one went off. But other than that, it was some of it was
that
spectacular.
That was so much
Paul.
Better than Carl Lewis.
The Carl Lewis one was just completely botched. But the Fergie National Anthem, a little bit of context. It was so much better watching it on TV because Draymond Green and Steph Curry just start busting out laughing. When she hits the wave parts and she just starts going back and forth between notes.
Well, if you watch the Carl Lewis one, I think that was at a Nets game.
Yes.
And like I think it's like Derek Coleman, a bunch of them are like putting their shooting shirts up over their face because they're laughing. They don't want to get seen that they're laughing at him.
Go back to Carl Lewis to finish this segment. That was the best or worst. Sort of a combination of both, I'd say.
Oh, say can you see, and the rockets red flag.
Uh-oh. I'll make up for it now.
Oh, wait, that was it.
Thank you. Thank you, Limits. That was him saying that.
That was him saying it.
That's what I said. He said, I'll make up for it.
She, the woman last night, maybe bottom five all time, but nobody's touching that. You agree, Paul?
Yeah, that Carl Lewis was horrible. That lady last night was pretty bad. By the way, a little breaking news.
Yeah.
Jelly Bean Joe Bryant, Kobe Bryant's dad, died.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I remember him from his actual playing days, believe it or not. Jelly Bean Joe Bryant.
69 years old.
That's it?
Yeah. I was surprised when I saw that's how old he was. That means, how old was Kobe Bryant?
Right around early 40s, I guess? Mid 40s? Jelly Bean Joe was a player back in...
69 years old.
Yeah, he was with the Sixers up to almost 19. He was with the Clippers in 80, so right after they moved from Buffalo.
He must have been... really young when he had Kobe, right?
Had to have been.
So he was born in 1954. And Kobe was born when? Like probably in like 1984?
Yeah, Kobe was only 41 when he died.
Maybe not so bad. No. 1978. Okay. Yeah, he was 24. He wasn't that young. He was 24 when he had Kobe.